Are you new to investing and have savings you need to protect? Right now, with the Middle East war, the Ukraine war, and maybe Taiwan soon, if you need a playbook, Noble Gold says allocate gold now and avoid the frenzied panic of the unprepared. When fear reigns, gold protects. And right now, get a free 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin when you open an IRA with Noble Gold Investments today. Shield your savings with Noble Gold Investments. Go to noblegoldinvestments.com. That's noblegoldinvestments.com. Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, a bombshell poll that shows that 1 in 5 people who voted by mail cheated. It was fraudulent. We dive through the micro aspect of this, and then we have the person who conducted the poll joins the program, Donald from the Great Heartland Institute. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show and get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. Turning Point USA is the nation's largest organization fighting for freedom and liberty. And come to amfest.com this Saturday, Phoenix Convention Center, December 16, 17, 18, 19. Tucker Carlson, Patrick Bett, David, Candace Owens, Glenn Beck, Rob Schneider, Roseanne Barr, Tulsi Gabbard, Ted Cruz, Dennis Prager, Ali B. Stuckey, Jonathan Isaac, Tim Pool, who will be doing his show live, James O'Keefe, Riley Gaines, Ben Carson, Michael Anton, Jason Whitlock, Gad Saad, Brandon Tatum, Seth Dillon, Jack Posobiec, Benny Johnson, Yanmi Park, Michael Seifert, James Lindsay, Christian Collins, John Amanchukwu, John Benzinger, Rob McCoy, Len Munsell, Eric Metaxas, Calvin Robinson, and for Turning Point Action, we have Vivek Ramaswamy, Steve Bannon, Kerry Lake, Donald Trump Jr., Kimberly Guilfoyle, Josh Hawley, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, Corey Mills, Mike Lindell, and Alina Hava, and our concerts, Big and Rich, Low Cash, and Raylan. Amfest.com, promo code Charlie for a special discount. Promo code Charlie, amfest.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Since the election of 2020, I remember we did a series of live streams. Many of you probably remember we had Tyler Boyer and Austin Smith. The numbers looked suspicious, and we came up with a term and a way to divide what happened in the 2020 election of macro versus micro. So there's macro. There's the Hunter Biden laptop story that was suppressed. There's social media suppression. There is Center for Technology and Civic Life, Mark Zuckerberg, who put $400 million into the 2020 election, drop boxes, 2,000 mules. That's all macro. By macro, I mean that there's multiple actors. It's systemic. It has a orchestrated type aspect to it. There's a plan. There's funding. Dare I say, even none dare call it a conspiracy. The macro part of the 2020 election, which has received all of the attention, understandably, was detailed in Molly Ball's piece, the plot to save the 2020 election, when they admitted that there was a conspiracy. Now, we've mentioned this a couple times, but I do not think this has received nearly enough attention. And Dennis Prager, to his great credit, dear friend of mine and teacher of mine, he has been on this more than anybody else. And he said, the aspect that we'll never know, the mystery of the 2020 election, the mystery of the 2022 election is the micro cheating. And micro-cheating is made possible when you change election laws and you do the act when no one is watching you. It's this amazing question. How would you act if you were on camera, aka if you believed that God was watching and judging all of your behavior? What would you do? Your behavior would be a lot different. Your behavior in private or in secret is always different than the behavior if you think other people are watching. The way elections used to work, and the way elections work in the Netherlands, and the way that elections work in Japan, and the way that elections even work in the United Kingdom, is that you leave your home and you go to an outside location that is transparently observed by nonpartisan or bipartisan actors. They're voting in a public setting. One of the great tragedies of American life is taking the act of voting from the public to the private. Now, I don't mean that you have to broadcast your vote, but there's something to say that I'm going to a place that is not my home. I'm going to have to sign some sort of form or hopefully provide identification as if there are systems that are checking my ethics. In public, there's much more accountability. One person, one vote. Hello, I am Charlie Kirk. Okay, what is your ID? Again, this is the ideal. It doesn't even happen in most states. Here is your ID. When I grew up and I remember my first vote I ever cast when I was 18 years old, mail-in balloting was a fringe thing. It was absentee for elderly voters or people that were traveling overseas, expats. 12 years ago, you know, you have to drive in the car and you say, hello, I'm Charlie Kirk. And again, in Illinois, they don't ask for your ID, but you still have to sign. And the election judge, God bless them, would compare your signature to the signature on file. And they say, okay, here is your ballot. And you go into a little booth and you're totally private. But it's very hard to get widespread shenanigans. You might get a little vote here or a corrupt election judge or somebody tabulating things wrong or a faulty machine. But generally, you have a decentralized process to go and vote. The Democrats hated that. The Democrats, they knew that as long as you had to get into a car to go vote, number one, the more responsible and the more mature citizens will show up more than the irresponsible, immature citizens. People that pay taxes that have kids, aka advantage conservatives. Having to go to a location to go vote and have those systems that check and balance that have more honesty and integrity than not, it advantaged the people that work for a living, not the people that smoke weed for a living. And they said, we got to change that. And they used COVID as a way to change it. Georgia is a great example. In the 2018 election, about 248,000 people in Georgia voted by mail. In the 2020 election, 2.4 million people voted by mail. Let me repeat it. In Georgia, you go from 248,000 to 2.4 million, a 10-fold factor increase in 2 years. So instead of going to a physical location and voting and showing an ID or at least having some signature verification, we decided to spit out ballots in every direction using COVID as an excuse. The Democrats, they looked at this as the death blow on the Republic. Finally, they can shorten the enthusiasm gap. Finally, they are able to get pieces of paper to people in private. And who knows exactly what is going to happen? Now, micro-cheating is impossible to prove. A new poll is as close as we are ever going to get to proving it. It's as close as we are ever going to get to make the argument. Now, we know this to be true using our reason, using our common sense, using the faculties that our Lord gave us. We know that this is happening. But when you have millions and millions and millions of ballots that are being sent out, we're supposed to believe that every single person is acting ethically and honestly when they do that. And I will say this. Of course the Democrats are going to cheat more than the Republicans. Not that the Democrats are necessarily worse people, but conservatives would find it dirtier. They would find it uglier to not treat the ballot as sacred or holy. More Democrats vote by mail as we know it. So by definition, this is advantage Democrats. This is the new poll. A new poll from Hartland Rasmussen finds that 1 in 5 Americans admit to engaging in behavior in 2020 that was technically election fraud. 21% of likely voters who voted by absentee or mail-in ballot in the 2020 election say they filled out a ballot, in part or full, on behalf of a friend or a family member. Now, some of that is that really quote-unquote game-changing election fraud. It's not worth barging down the door. Well, 17% of mail-in voters say they cast a ballot in a state where they were no longer permanent residents. That's fraud. But of course, our systems, our Secretary of State say this is democracy. No, it's the death of representative government. 19% of those who cast in mail-in votes say a friend or family member cast out their ballot in part or full. So let me just paint this picture. We know this is fraudulent behavior. And how often does this happen? Well, here's an example. If a parent doesn't care about voting, but their college-educated kid does, and she just takes their ballots, fill them out, get them to sign them in a rush, and then drops all the ballots off. That's fraud, but it will never be caught. The way we used to do elections is you got to go to a polling place. And the Democrats hated that it took too much effort because the Democrat Party is largely, it's two groups of people, oligarchs and unsatisfied, miserable, upper middle class, college educated white people, and permanently government addicted underclass. And the permanently government addicted underclass, they tend to not work. They tend to not have as much skin in the game. They just want freebies. They want free benefits. Give me more stuff. Give me, even some people, abortion. And it's a harder lift. It is a bigger lift to get them to go to a physical place. Democrats said we got rid of it. They send everyone a piece of paper. Unregulated. Unmonitored. And no idea who's actually filling it out. But this poll shows that nearly 1 in 5 of those ballots, self-admission, by the way, that means it's even higher. This is people acknowledging and admitting they are committing felonies. And it means it's even higher. They say that they did so fraudulently. But there's a massive ingredient. And the Democrats are so smart. Send ballots everywhere. Don't watch. Don't check signatures. But there's another aspect to this where the media comes in. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. You can't handle the truth. The truth is the clowns running this joint live for chaos. Many of our problems could be solved overnight, but they let them be. Destruction fuels them. If you can handle that truth, you need to visit MyPatriotSupply.com. You'll get $60 off a much-needed 4-week emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply, the country's largest preparedness company. My Patriot Supply is your fighting chance at survival. Sealed inside rugged packaging, these delicious meals last up to 25 years and provide over 2,000 calories a day. Eat right in emergencies with this 4-week food kit from My Patriot Supply. At this low price, you can get one for everyone in your family. Visit MyPatriotSupply.com. Order by 3 p.m. for free same-day shipping. Prepare right now at MyPatriotSupply.com before total chaos ensues. You are 9 meals away from anarchy. You get $60 off a much-needed emergency food kit. So go right now to MyPatriotSupply.com. This argument Dennis Prager has made for a while, and it's so important, and it's impossible to prove, but we know it's happening. And we get little glimpses here, glimpses here, glimpses there. Again, this is not even talking about the Center for Technology and Civic Life and the drop boxes and all of that nonsense. We're talking about a 88-year-old in Peoria, Arizona, who gets sent a ballot. And their granddaughter, who is 21 and lesbian, purple hair, who believes Donald Trump is Hitler, goes over and visits the grandmother and says, "Hey, let's vote and let's get this done with." "Oh, okay, honey, fine." By the way, this happens all the time. The New York Times called this granny farming. They had a term for it called granny farming. And the lesbian, purple-haired, anti-Trump activist young person fills out the ballot and submits it. If you believe that you were running against Adolf Hitler, would you cheat? Let me go a step further and be more specific. If there was an election and you knew who Hitler was and you knew what he was planning to do and you had an opportunity to cheat in an election against Adolf Hitler, Blake, what year was an election Hitler? 33 was the last one. 33, 36, he would know. 33, that was right. Okay, spring of 33. See, I'm not as sharp as Blake, but can get it, you know. Stop, broken clock is right twice a day. Spring of 33. In the election of spring of 33, which was the last election that Hitler basically conducted before cementing his power as a Führer, dictator, would you have cheated? Would you, if the rules, if they had then, back then, you know, ballots going everywhere, if they had a system to do that, would you, in the cover of night, illegally scooped up ballots and forged signatures to make sure that Hitler would not have become fewer of Germany? At least you would have done your part to say that I did everything I could to prevent it and stop it. Well, let me go a step further. If you did not do that, I think that you're a bad person. I think that you have a moral imperative. If you were really, if you knew the Holocaust was coming, and you had an opportunity to prevent that from happening, then you have a moral imperative to do whatever you possibly can to stop it. And what they have done by calling Trump Hitler, and they say that Trump echoes Nazism, and there are thousands of clips that we could play, okay? Articles, Time Magazine, just here's one of many. Then these deranged lunatics on the left have convinced themselves that they are fighting the Third Reich. So you have millions and millions of ballots, and they justify to themselves that the cheating and the lying and the corner cutting, it's them stopping Hitler. Play cut 65.
People would get legitimately elected. And then they would try to do away with elections and do away with opposition and do away with a free press. And you could see it in countries where, well, Hitler was duly elected.
That's right.
Right? And so all of a sudden, somebody with those tendencies, those dictatorial, authoritarian tendencies would be like, oh, okay, we're going to shut this down. We're going to throw these people in jail. And they didn't usually telegraph that. Trump is telling us what he intends to do.
So she's basically calling Trump Hitler. And so at least a couple hundred thousand neurotic left-wing activists hear this. And they say, we need to do everything we possibly can. And they go scoop up ballots. And we now know this to be true because of this. And by the way, it can be as easy also as this. Tyler Boyer, who runs Turning Point Action for us, he received five ballots. Five ballots at his home. There's only two adults at his home. So if you think you're running against Hitler, what do you do with those five ballots? What do you do? Do you only fill in the ballots that are aligned with your name? Or do you do everything you possibly can to stop Nazism? What I'm getting at is the media intentionally created a narrative so that hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of left-wing people can rationalize their cheating. They created the moral justification for a massive micro-steal. I want to talk about ReliefFactor.com. I want you guys to check out ReliefFactor.com. 100% drug-free, knee pain, back pain, joint pain, elbow pain. Check out Relief Factor Energy. Help makes your body make nutrients readily available. Relief Factor Sleep. I know a lot of you are probably having trouble sleeping. Relief Factor Sleep could be the best solution for you. Everybody goes to bed. Not everybody sleeps. We're all about helping people live lives that are filled with connection, exploration, passion, and emotion. That is what his life is all about. Make sure you guys are sleeping well. It's a major part of life. Check it out right now. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Okay, joining us now is Donald Kendall, Deputy Director of the Heartland Institute. Heartland Institute, of course, from Chicago, Illinois, the suburbs of Chicago, on this now viral survey. Coming clean, one in five admits the 2020 election fraud. Donald, thank you for joining the program. Tell us all about it.
So this poll that we did, we actually came up with this, colleague and I came up with this idea about a month ago, and we just, you know, we thought all the stories about potential voter fraud and all of that, mail-in balloting, the issues that are related to that, we just thought, you know, what if we just asked people, what if we just asked them whether or not they committed fraud? Obviously, we wouldn't use the word fraud, but we'll just ask them if they did a series of things that would be fraudulent when it comes to mail-in balloting. And we thought maybe we'll get 3%, maybe we'll get 5% that would admit this, right? Because it's a poll. People, you know, you get called on the phone. You ask if you did one thing or another. Maybe you lie, something like that. So maybe we get 5% of people that are going to admit to this. And when we got the poll results back, we got the poll results back late on Friday, and we were just blown away. We could not have imagined this in our wildest dreams. Again, we were maybe 5%. But when it came back and it was 1 in 5, that it averaged out to be about 20% of people admitting to fraud when it came to mail-in balloting, we couldn't believe it. So we were so excited to kind of release the results and see what the response would be. And it has gone pretty viral.
President Trump says, quote, "The most important poll released in the last 20 years came out yesterday, stating that 20% of mail-in ballots in the 2020 election were rigged or defective. Well, that's not exactly what it was, but we'll go with it. That means that that the election was a giant scam. You cannot have fair and honest election as long as there are mail-in ballots. Cheating will always be prevalent. France and many other countries have stopped the madness. The Republican Party must do something now. Now, I do want to hone in on this, Donald, which is that when you do have tens of millions of ballots unregulated, it does open the opportunity for people to push the boundaries and to do things that are untoward, fraudulent, or illegal, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I've heard some people, it's funny because you see the first rush of people covering this story and they just report the findings of the report of the survey and say, wow, this is crazy, you know, 20%. And then you see the second wave of kind of the left response to it. And they're trying to dismiss it in a whole series of ways. And maybe it's not as nefarious as you might think, you know, oh, we've had mail-in balloting before and all of this, and it's never been an issue. And it's just like, I don't know where these people are coming from, because the mail-in balloting that we'd had prior to COVID is radically different than the system that we had set up during the 2020 election, where basically everybody was sent a ballot and everybody can vote that way. So no doubt that was just a recipe for disaster. And I don't think anyone's ever asked these questions and found out that, yeah, 20% of people admitting that, yeah, we didn't do this the way that you were supposed to. So that was the system that we opened ourselves up to. And of course, there was a lot of people speculating about potential fraud. And I think this is one of the first polls that really highlight the reality of that situation.
Well, and then just educate our audience. For example, if you fill out a ballot for another family member, and if they're not I believe the law is if they are not, let's just say, have dementia, it's illegal, correct? The only way you could do that is if you're a specific, fill out a form with the county that you can do it for a specific person. For example, if your grandmother has Alzheimer's or something. Is that correct?
Yeah, exactly. And that was kind of another thing. It was just like, well, maybe these are just a wife and their spouse just sitting down at the kitchen table and kind of filling it out together or something. Maybe the husband is making dinner and his hands are dirty. It's just like, it doesn't matter. That's all fraud. And it would not be the case if you actually had to go to a ballot box and vote, like how we've done for the history of this country. You can't just bring your wife or husband into the ballot box with you. So regardless of how you want to like twist this in any way to make it not seem as nefarious, it still boils down to fraud. And the fact that is that these levels of fraud, 20%, and this is I think that the numbers on this are 40% or so of people say that they voted via mail-in ballot during the 2020 election. So 20% of that, we're talking about tens of millions of votes that were cast in an illegitimate way. Like that is enough to sway any election in any country. So it's really eye-opening to see these results.
Yeah. But the other number that I think is really fascinating is like, okay, let's first of all, this is self-reported, okay? That's what's so incredible. It's self-acknowledged. Let's say some of it, okay, my hands are, you know, full of marinara sauce. We're doing this collectively and you do that. Okay, that's not smoking gun stuff. But here's the one that I think is important. 17% of mail-in voters said they cast a ballot in a state where they were no longer permanent residents. Whoa. Now this one, let's put all this other aside. Now this is fraud. There is no gray area. There is no, you know, mom had her hands full with the kids. What is this? 17% people said they submitted fraudulent mail-in ballots. That is illegal and traceable. Elaborate on that.
Right. Yes. Yeah. And I won't name any names, but I know personally certain people that have done this, maybe not in this past election, but, you know, they move and maybe they're not registered in the current state. So they think, oh, you know, the morality of this is fine. I'm just going to cast a ballot in the state that I used to live in. That's fraud. And the other thing, like, okay, so we had that one. We had the somebody filled it out for you or you filled it out for somebody else. None of these are necessarily, like, completely overlapping. So the real number of this could be much higher than 20%. You know, just somebody committing one of these levels of fraud. And not only that, and as you kind of pointed out when you're phrasing that question, this is people admitting to it. So yep. Surely you can imagine somebody that, you know, he gets a call from Rasmussen asking them these questions. And they're like, you know what, maybe I shouldn't admit to this. But can you imagine somebody that's just lying and saying that they did commit fraud? I think that's probably a lot lesser on when you're
well, it goes to show it goes to show they don't know it's illegal. That's what's amazing. I mean, otherwise.
Exactly. And that's how we phrase the questions.
Yes.
We just ask them, did you do this? You know, not saying that it's necessarily bad or fraudulent or anything. Just, did you do this? We're just curious. You know,
yeah,
I think that's why people are a little more candid with their response.
So 17% of mail-in voters said they cast a ballot in a state where they were no longer permanent residents. So these are people that left the state and they still have access or they're visiting the state casually. Like, build out what that is exactly. I mean, you said you know someone maybe in Illinois that does this. What is this archetype? Somebody that recently moved their family and they're still getting ballots, or they have two properties or a vacation home. Is that correct?
Yeah. Any one of those is definitely a case. I mean, even in some cases when you have just your mail forwarded from your past address and now it's coming to your current residence. So, I mean, there's any number of scenarios like that. But yeah, that, I mean, you honed in on it.
Well, hold on.
Kind of very
I got to interrupt. So let's pretend that you're in the Maricopa County assessor. You're trying to tell me there might be ballots that are postmarked that have a stamp of another state?
Well, I mean, I'm not entirely sure about that. I'm just
it would be an interesting thing to ask, right? It'd be like, is somebody sending in a ballot from L.A.? Probably.
Well, it's very curious because I had just heard from a different colleague when we were talking about some of this when the poll results came in that the rejection rate of these mail-in ballots was like less than 0.5% or something like that. And I just wonder, like, how egregious must have those ballots been to have been rejected if, you know, all of these 1 in 5 were accepted? So I don't know what what it kind of takes to have a ballot rejected, but it seems like it's a pretty high bar, if I had to guess, especially in certain counties, like you were saying.
But we're told this is the most secure election in history. What does your data tell us?
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, that has been the narrative. In fact, if you, especially after what happened with Trump and everything, if you even question the legitimacy of this election, and you are subject to being shadow banned or you know, deplatformed or any number of things. And this shows very clearly that this election should be looked at very critically, especially when we're doing this mass mail-in balloting, which has not been done before. And to just assume that it was all great and everyone played by the rules, I think it's just incredibly naive and just serves the agenda of maybe the administration that took office. So we've all been told that we shouldn't be looking under the hood of this election. And I really think that this poll was one of the first ones that really did just pop open that hood and see what's going on in that engine. And clearly it's not good.
And in some states, it's getting even worse, right? It's getting even worse with the proliferation of mail-in ballots. Among all voters, mail-in person, 11% said a family member, friend, or coworker, other acquaintance admitted to them they filled out a ballot on behalf of another person. So 11% of people know other people that are cheating. So this is just like a massive fraudulent exercise, isn't it?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I really wonder, I think Trump mentioned this in one of his posts about this, that it's like, you know, the Republicans have to do something about it. And obviously this kind of starts at the state level to kind of clean up your election rules when it comes to your state. We're out of the pandemic, right? The COVID, the mass hysteria is over. Let's go back to voting how we normally do. That I think that is the clear takeaway from this.
Donald, stay right there. I want to talk to you after the break. By the way, it would be probably helpful for people to run PSAs saying, hey, if you're filling out a ballot, that is illegal and you might be prosecuted. Okay. What have we not covered here that you think, or do you think we've covered all the numbers here? Big takeaways. We only have a couple minutes. Your thoughts?
I think we covered most of the numbers. And of course, if you want to see, you know, more information on it, you can go to heartland.org. You'll find it right on the front of the page there. But I actually had a question for you on this, Charlie, because I was wondering about, especially considering just the outrageous numbers, do you think that this goes to this could potentially like exonerate Trump in any way on some of the charges that he's facing when it comes to like
know.
The election fraud denial?
Yeah, I mean, the charges are not necessarily on. I mean, it's we have yet to see. I mean, I think this is big enough where this should create a mass movement to fix mail-in ballots once and for all. It's not going to. Because what they do is they create rationalization campaigns by saying that Donald Trump is Hitler. And if everyone gets, you know, it's my dirty little secret that I got sent in three ballots and I filled all three in, right? It's my dirty little secret that my grandmother, who is now blind or 95 years old, and she tells me to go vote for Trump and I fill out Biden, right? You know, something like that. And by the way, granny farming is not a term I like, but the New York Times used it. Okay. The New York Times had it as a term 10 years ago, which young activists would go to nursing homes or old people's homes and scoop up ballots and fraudulently forge their will and their intent. So this is a major, but this would not be a problem if we had voting the way it used to be, and they don't want it to be that way.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's almost like, you know, and you were joking about the idea of voter suppression or just warning people about,
oh, it's not even a joke,
the rules associated with it.
Yeah, no, I mean,
right. I know. But could you imagine, you know, politicians coming out now and saying, you know what, maybe this mail-in balloting thing, we don't need to do it anymore. Like, that's going to rain down the same calls of so-called voter suppression. So I think the longer you wait, in fact, I think the worse that those calls will be. So, I mean, to kind of quote Trump, it's like, now would be the time to do something about this. You can't wait any longer. If you want to reel in mail-in balloting, now is the time.
Yeah, I guess my question would be, it'd be for a lawyer, do you think that this poll is evidence enough to start filing lawsuits to say that, hey, that the will of the people are being thwarted, or that there's, I mean, if you have one out of five ballots being fraudulently self-acknowledged, you know, self-admission that it's being fraudulently filled out, wouldn't that be enough for some sort of a civil challenge? Maybe. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer, so.
I'm not a lawyer either, but hey, you know what? Throw something against the wall and see what sticks. And in fact, some of the responses that I've seen from the left that are trying to like dismiss some of the things that were some of the findings in this poll, my gut reaction is like, then conduct a different poll. See if your poll is going to find a lower number than this, because I'll challenge all of those people to see if your results come back and it shows a much lower percentage. And then I wonder, what's a low enough percentage where this doesn't become an issue? Obviously, 20% is like headline grabbing stuff, but are they content with 10%?
Well,
are they content
just
with 8%?
Put all the other numbers aside. We have 17% of mail-in votes, according to you guys, where they don't even live where they're voting.
Right. It's unbelievable
stuff. I mean,
like I said,
you have people voting for governors that aren't their governor. I just want everyone to understand right. that. So let's round down. OK, let's round down. So in Arizona, there's roughly about 5 million, 6 million ballots cast. Let's just, I think it's like 4.6 million. OK, so 70% of people vote by mail in Arizona. All right. So that's 2.6 million, 2.7 million. I'm just approximating. Okay, so let's say it's 10%. That means 270,000 people vote and they don't even live in the state that could determine the future of the republic. That's according to your data. I'm rounding down, by the way, by 7 points.
Yeah. We were actually discussing in the office yesterday the idea of doing some like analysis of all of the results that we come in and kind of extrapolating. Admittedly, it'd be a little bit of a kind of a back of the envelope sort of extrapolating this data across the states and see what the real kind of election outcomes would be if all of these fraudulent mail-in ballots were discarded. And my hypothesis is that that election map, the electoral map at the end of the day would look very different of what the final one was on election day in 2020.
Great. Thank you so much, Donald. Great work. Appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
Email us freedom@charliekirk.com and subscribe to our podcast. A pro-Hamas mob, by the way, has just shut down the 110 freeway in Los Angeles. It's just, these people are unbelievable. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
Ah, ho, ho, ho.
Hey, what's wrong, Santa?
Well, it's these elves. The new ones all feel entitled. They don't want to work their way up the ladder. In fact, they hardly want to work at all. Then there's those social justice elves. They keep pointing out everyone's differences, dividing the elves and getting them all riled up. And don't get me started about the reindeer rights elves. The shop floor just isn't the happy little place it used to be.
We should have used Red Balloon.
That's right, Santa. RedBalloon.work is America's woke-free job board. Every day, we help good companies find reliable, motivated job seekers without all the woke nonsense. And our new Red Balloon recruiter service is turning traditional corporate recruiting on its head, delivering high-quality employees for a fraction of the price. Give yourself a Christmas gift and post your jobs on RedBalloon.work today. And use promo code SALEM to get 10% off your first month's job posting. Because life's too short for a bad hire.